There's too many of y'all in the comfort zone. You got to stay on the cutting edge.
Welcome to LeroyThompson.tv, where you get the cutting edge.
Go with me to 1 Kings 19. And we're going to begin at verse 19. And my opening statement is that everybody's here, if you would ask them, they have a testimony how God brought them here. I know I do. I know if I call every one of you here, you have a statement or a testimony how God supernaturally direct you here. I believe we've been divinely positioned here. Would you agree with that? I believe God called you by name here. I believe that's a divine purpose that we are here. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, but God always connects a people to a man of God. Always. Always. And you know, it's like connecting pieces to a puzzle. When I was a little boy, I used to like to put puzzles together. But sometimes you get to some of them scenes, like trees and the ground and bushes. They all look alike. You don't know where they go sometimes. And you're guessing, and you try to put a piece here, and it don't work. You try to put another piece, it don't work. Finally, you get upset, and you try to force the piece in the little slide. Anybody ever did that, or just me? They don't mess with puzzles no more. They got too much computers and stuff. But I used to enjoy doing that. It was a good pastime for me, putting together puzzles. But my point is, sometimes we'll like a piece, a particular piece of a puzzle that only fit in a particular place. And sometimes we try to find our own place and try to beat ourselves there. And it don't work. But God has a distinctive place for every member in his body. And I'm talking about the universal body. You don't just go try to fit yourself anywhere. You call to certain places and call to under certain leadership, under certain apostle. And my point is, I believe we all are called to be under Apostle Thompson, those that are here, those that God sent here. Now, you do believe God sent you here, right? Let me see your hand. God sent you here. Oh, I just made my mind up. That just like a good idea. It's a nice church. I like the way the flowers and everything looks, so I'm just going to park right here. No, I believe something's going to happen in your bosom. It's no accident. You're not a mistake. Just happened to pass by. It's not just a coincidence that you're here. I know it's not. I know it's not. I know all of us got a testimony, you know, and all of it is kind of unique. The way God devised it and the way God planned it, you couldn't think of it. That's what I'm trying to say. You couldn't think about how you got here in the natural. Some people may have drove here by accident, but it wasn't an accident. It was God's divine plan. Why? Because God got a plan for your life, and your life, the plan for your life, has everything to do with your future. And where you are presently has something to do with your future. Have something to do with your future, and it'll take care of the past that wasn't right. Past, present, and future, all in God's divine plan, and when you're in the right place that God has appointed you. Right place. You ever heard that statement? Got to be in the right place at the right time. Got the whole two number, two so help us God. I don't want to be, see, your package that God has for you is going to be delivered where he called you to. He's not going to send your package. Well, some people do mess up like that. They package here and they gone. And they wondering where they package at. But it was supposed to be here and remain. And now they're looking for things, and they left it where they were supposed to be. That makes sense? Didn't come out right, but it made sense in my mind, hear what I said. I know what I was saying, but I don't know if it came out just like that. But God's going to send you a package where you're supposed to be. I believe that. We are destined to be in the right place. Now, I say all that to go to 1 Kings 19, because here's another point. God had been looking for you. God been looking for you. And God know how to supernaturally made the connection, made the contact. I don't care how the process goes, you know, because God got 1,000 ways or a million ways to get you where he wants you, but all you need is one way. But you have to be in the right particular place. All right? So God, if you're reading that 1 Kings 19, we're going to begin at verse 19. Elisha, some say Elisha, some say Elisha, but I like to say Elisha because it helped me separate the J. So when I say Elisha, you know I'm talking about the servant. All right? I don't want to get confused because the names are so close together, almost like kindred names. But in that 19th chapter, you're going to find out where God found Elisha. The prophet Elijah found him. Now, if somebody gets found, that means somebody was being looked for. God found you because he was looking for you. Sometimes people think, you know, God, we're not that important to God. And, you know, because we don't seem like we got all the accolades and we're not in great status in the world system, and we think we're not important. No, God looking for you. And God has found. He found a lot of us. When I say found a lot of us, why? Because to position us. Some people wouldn't be alive today if they weren't here. I'm willing to say, and some people that day would have been alive if they were still here. I believe that with all my heart, soul, strength, and might. You can leave out of your place, and then God can't be responsible for you then. You know, we don't know how serious that is. You remember when you ever played ball, and then the coach would stay on the base, and some fool trying to steal, and he put you out every time because you can't run like you used to run? I just threw that in there. But stay on your base. And we about to find out something supernatural here about this connection between Elisha and Elijah that's going to confound you, because you're going to see yourself. I saw myself. And if you're looking for a title for my message, you must settle it for yourself. And you got to settle some things for yourself, all right? Y'all with me? Okay. Okay, we're going to take this scripture apart bit by bit, because I don't want to miss nothing here. I'll be going to try to cover everything we can in the time allotted, all right? The 19th verse says, so he departed thence and found who? And found Elisha, the son of Japheth, or Elisha, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So let's take the first verse. We're going to tear the first verse apart here. We're going to see some things that happened here. Now, notice what he was doing. He was plowing in the field, right? Now, notice he didn't find him praying. All right? He didn't find him reading the Holy Scripture. He didn't even find him with the sons of the prophet. You know, he could have went looking with the sons of the prophet and find him. If you're looking for somebody, because God had already told him that go and anoint Elisha, that he's gonna take your place. He knew it, but Elisha or Elijah didn't know it. But why didn't he go to the sons of the prophet? Isn't that peculiar? Why don't God go to certain places and find people that he want to use mightily? I mean, people that already esteem highly in the spiritual world. Sometimes God can't talk to them. Because they're too spiritual. They got too many. They got the sons of the prophet revelation. You ever heard that one? The sons of the prophet had some revelation now. And the sons of the prophet, you remember in 2 Kings 2? Huh? When the sons of the prophet said, you know, the Lord going to take your master from your head today. He said, I know it. Hold your peace. I don't want to hear your revelation. You might take me another way. You know, sometimes spiritual people, revelation, they're so spiritual, it'll take you another way, away from what God told you to go. I remember a man once, he gave me one of the sons of the prophet revelation. And I should have known better, because my pastor had trained me, but it was years ago. He said, the Lord told me to tell you, by the end of this year, you're going to be in full-time ministry. That was way, way back when. And still that thing freed me up. I got locked down so much, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep for a whole year. I couldn't wait till that year was over. I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, because they put me in bondage. Why? I took one of them sons of the prophet revelation. Everybody got a revelation. Everybody got a word for you. You got to watch these spiritual people. So that's why God didn't choose nobody from the sons of the prophet. He got somebody, a simple man, plowing. A simple man that able to hear God. You can't hear God with too many revelation. A revelation here, a revelation there, here, there, everywhere a revelation. Old MacDonald. That just come out. But it's the truth anyway. It is the truth. So God can have all your revelation. Some of them too deep for the Lord. The Lord said, I don't know where that coming in. It come from me. Now, so he found him plowing, right? And then the scripture says, Elijah passed by and did what? Cast his mantle upon him. Now, watch this scripture closely. He cast his mantle upon him. Now, that mantle represents the anointing, am I right? A cloak. And it was customary to do that. So when Elisha received that mantle, he knew something was going on unusual. He knew something happened unusual. Elijah didn't throw it because it was kind of chilly outside. No, he was mocking him. He put a mark on him. Now, why this? Now, watch what's so interesting about this. When the prophet threw the mantle, he didn't stop and wait for him. He kept going. You know how I know he kept going? I know he kept going because the Bible said Elisha ran after the prophet to catch up with him. You see it? He ran. I'm going to take my time with this. He ran after the prophet to catch up with him because the prophet kept going. And here's the reason why he kept going. Because he cast the mantle, but he didn't have nothing to do with this transaction. This transaction was not a flesh transaction here. This transaction was something that God had to get mixed up in here. So he couldn't stop and wait for him here. And I found something out about Elisha. He ran, but he ran without a revelation. I'm going to explain that. You can run without a revelation. You can go behind somebody. I don't know why you're going behind them. Because it's a good idea. Because a friend said, I found a good church. They got a good choir. My goodness, the choir sing like angels. That's not a good reason. He's like a father figure. And I never had a father in my life. And that's why I'm going to follow him. No, that's not even a good reason. So the prophet confronted him. And the prophet said, go back again. Is that what he said? Go back again. What have I done to thee? Boy, that's kind of hard, ain't it? You ran behind somebody. Now he tell you to go back again. Let me see. I think I got a note here about that. Listen at this. Now, I want you to know that Elisha went back again, but he left the prophet twice. He left twice. Now, then we say, what do you mean he left twice? He left twice. You see, the first time he left, it's because he had no revelation, right? Listen at this now. You're listening to me? If you... if you leave the oxen... He left the oxen and ran after Elijah. If you leave the oxen without hearing from God, you can go back to the oxen when things get a little tough, when the road get a little rough, when you're not handled the way you think you ought to be handled, when you're rebuked when you don't think you need a rebuke. He left his oxen. You see, God was trying to orchestrate this thing where when you leave the oxen, you leave the oxen. That makes sense? Because the prophet Elijah might not be one of the nicest men in the natural in the world. I believe a little rough myself. That's why I got a little upset when he ran when Jezebel was after his life. Just through all the 450 of the prophets of Baal. And then after that, one woman, Jezebel. Don't marry no Jezebel. Please don't marry no Jezebel. One woman, Ahab had a time with Jezebel. Jezebel caused him his life and his children because he let his wife just took over. All right, now, where was I before the Jezebel situation? Yeah, I forgot where I was. Okay, yeah, you leave the oxen twice. If you just leave the oxen, you will always go back to the oxen when things go rough or you get your feeling hurt. And here's something to think about. Here's what the prophet could have told him. Who told you to follow me? Well, let's personalize this a little bit. You see, sometimes people, when the Lord, or when they try to find themselves spiritually or try to find their spiritual. I heard people say, I'm trying to find me a church. You've heard? No. Let God find you a church. You might get the wrong church. And die early. And stay broke. And your marriage all messed up. Why can't I tell you a little story? This story here, in a way, it hurt my heart. But then I learned from it. This is a true story. I went to Walmart to put some tires on my daughter's car. And this young lady who worked in the tire department, I just come from a meeting here. I had a suit on, coat and tie. She said, you a preacher? I said, why you want to know that? She said, I got a question for you. And I kind of handled it a little rough because I had to see what she discerned where she was coming from, you see. And so I said, what you want? I answered just like that, what you want? The apostle anointing came upon me. And so the woman, see, she said, my pastor put me out of church. I said, oh, now I have to take a little more attention to this. I said, what happened? What did you do? She said, I got some issues, you know, in the sex area. I prefer women than men. And my heart kind of went out to the young lady. And she said, and the other lady, evidently they've been talking about it. I'm sure how you need to be in the right church. She'd been talking about it. She said, well, she didn't tell you everything. I said, well, you tell me everything. And I got a point here. Look what happened. her pastor put her out because the woman she was liking, he was liking. I said, I'm undone, Lord. I said, Lord, thank you for having me in the right church. I said, ma'am, you're in the wrong church. I said, if you want to get yourself right, the Lord can help you if you want to get yourself right. I said, but you're in the wrong church. And then I began to minister to her, come to find out she was raped when she was a little girl. And she just feared men. The Lord can help that. She didn't say she born like that. Now, I didn't mean to get off on that. But my point was, you got to be in the right church if you want to get delivered. Some people lose their deliverance because they leave too fast. They don't ever get their full deliverance. And they still got some more things hanging on them because they didn't stay long enough to get their full deliverance from an apostle, from a prophet that's bold enough to able to confront and to deal with issues. Apostle Tom can deal with issues. He'll deal with anybody need to be dealt with. That's why I love him so much. You can't stay in sin under this ministry. You might come in sin, but you can't stay in sin. Why? The word of God going to help you. Are you following me? Now watch this. Let's finish this. But you see why? My point was he had to leave twice. Because the first time, the oxen deal. If you don't sell it for yourself, what I mean sell it for yourself? Know within yourself where God called you, where God planted you, you can go back to the oxen. You can go back to that same old watering hole that was killing you. Because you got your feeling hurt. If you don't get your feeling hurt, you can't grow sometimes. Sometimes I'm feeling hurt trying to get something out of you that need to be cut out of you. That's surgery. I call it surgery. When I'm cut, when I'm rebuked, that's spiritual surgery. God trying to get me somewhere I can't get by myself. You don't want a little nicey, sissy pastor, no way. I wouldn't follow him. I remember years ago, when I was in the church where I could do anything I want. Y'all been to some of them churches. And the Lord convicted me. And I said, Lord, what's my job as a Christian anyway? And then, you know, they asked a question, didn't expect an answer. I didn't expect an answer. But I heard the Lord, and I didn't know people could hear the Lord. I thought people were lying to say the Lord told me. I said, Lord, don't talk to nobody. They're lying. Well, I was spiritually immature. I used to laugh at people when they say that and make fun of them because I didn't believe the Lord talked to nobody. But this time, the Lord answered me, and I turned around and thought somebody had said it. He said, sell somebody by Jesus. That's what I heard the Lord say when I was my job. And then I sunk on the inside. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about Jesus. And that were the words that came out of my own mouth that turned my life around. And then my brother, Donald, I used to run from because he wanted to preach to me all the time. I went looking for him. I said, Donald, teach me about Jesus. And he took me under his arm, and the first place he brought me was to Darrow, Louisiana. See, God was looking for me. Right where I was. Right, I almost called the name of the church. Right where I was. He was looking for me, but I had something to do with it. So he brought me to the church. See, I came from a family of ministers, you know, and they all wasn't living right. And that was that put up a sign for me. I had to cry. I said, Lord, is anybody living right? Because I saw preachers do things I never thought they were supposed to be doing. And it hurt my heart because I was looking for righteousness. I was looking for holiness. I was looking for sanctification. I was looking for people that didn't run women in the church. And I couldn't find it. Not where I was anyway. I'm talking about being in the right church. And so I carried this thing over me that nobody lived right. You know, ain't nobody living right. Because I had to go to preach. Boy, I seen some preachers in some places I wouldn't have been being the worst sinner. But the devil used that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The devil used that. And so I got this stigma on me now. You see? So I went to Darryl, Reverend Leroy Thompson, where he was teaching Bible study. And he made a statement, it's going to stay with me long as I live. Right in the middle of his Wednesday night study, he stopped and said, it was just for me. He said, I got one girlfriend and one wife, they're both the same person. I said, man, can't be telling the truth. Everybody got a girlfriend. Everybody got a girlfriend. But I watched him. Been over 30 years now. I watched him. And he's a man of integrity. For all these years. Honest. Trustworthy. One, two. I got three generations of my family here now. I know people been here for over 30 years, some almost, Ms. Aldrinum and Ms. Marin and Charles and Wilbur and Gwen, they've been here from the conception of world life. And they know what I'm talking about. That don't just happen. That's no accident. People don't just come and stay to a church like we got here. You see, the track record is so great. The growth record is so great. The maturity level is so great. I think the members in this church can pass the average church around here. The members. Youth. But that's not my point. Let me show you what I'm trying to get at. I don't just sit on and make this stuff up. You know what? Now watch this. Here's the next part. He said, let me, I pray thee. He knew this when he went back. You know when the prophet sent him back? You know he did send him back. He said, let me pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Everybody say, then I will follow thee. You see, you got to realize a lot of people looking for some, let me read like I got it here. What they're looking for? They're looking for some flesh and blood approval before they make a spiritual decision. You know, see, you got to see what mama think. See what the nan think. You understand? You see what your spiritual friend think. No. When God tell you something, you don't need no flesh and blood approval. Kiss mom and daddy, fine if you want, but don't kiss them saying if you just look at me wrong, I'm going to change my mind. No. Let them know that the Lord didn't talk to me. And I don't need to talk to nobody else. And I know it in my spirit. What God told me to do. And warn to me if I don't do it. Anybody ever had that strong constraint? It's a strong constraint. And you know it by the Holy Ghost. When God told you to do something or to be somewhere, you can't shake it off. I don't care who speak against it. No. It's all right to kiss father and mother, but don't kiss it looking for some approval. Baby, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think you ought to leave your church. Your grandma was here. Yeah, I love grandma. But grandma dead. No, I ain't taking nothing from grandma being dead. My grandmother dead. But no, you got to have a conviction in your spirit when God tell you something. You don't need no flesh and blood approval. I'm willing to say if we did, none of us would hardly be here. Some people had to go against the grain. Some people had to go against mother and father and sister and brothers to be here. I know it. And not the easy thing in the natural. But you know, when you're doing what the Lord says, that's the most important thing in the world. I mean, the will of God, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. You don't want to trade the will of God for anything in the world. When I mean the will of God, I know that all things going to work together for my good. When I mean the will of God, I know if God is for me, it don't make no difference what come against me. When I mean the will of God, I know no weapon formed against me can prosper. But if you're not in the will of God, some of them things are questionable. The will of God is the ultimate thing. It's the ultimate thing. God can't really help you like he want to help you if you ain't in his divine will. You ever had a temporary fix? They got these things called fix-a-flat. Your tire gets flat, and you blow it up in your tire, and it fixes it, but that's just temporary. And sometimes when you're not in the perfect will of God, you get these little temporary fixes, and you keep going back to the same old fix-a-flat. But that's the scripture I find out. Say, whatsoever God do it is forever. When God heal you, it's forever. When God bless you, it's forever. Oh, when you're in the will of God, I'm talking about. Some people fight the will of God because they ain't separate themselves from people. They ain't separate themselves from family. They haven't cut those ties they need to cut. Those people ties, friend ties, congregational ties. I know I'm telling the truth. So go back again. What have I done to you? Then you want to kiss your father and mother. And then the next thing he says, and then I will follow you. Well, after I get everything straight. But he also made a statement. He said, go back again and settle this for yourself. Nobody can sell a certain thing for you. Nobody can tell you what to do when it comes to spiritual things. Some people, they're looking for confirmation, but when God talks to you, sometimes you don't need no confirmation. Sell it for yourself. You got to sell it for yourself. Now, I believe on the way back, when the prophet said go back again, I believe on the way back, that was a supernatural go back again. See, when God speaks sometimes, it's supernatural. When he said go back again, I think something supernatural happened to Elisha. I believe God spoke to Elisha when he was going back again to that plot. You got to have a plow field experience. And when he was going back, I believe this is what the Lord told him. I don't see it in the scripture right here, but sometimes the Lord will help you. He says, Elisha, as long as I live, how long the Lord live? And as long as Elijah lived, I don't want you to leave him. I call that a plot. Why you think he told him that? Because if you go back to 2 Kings, when the prophet said, the Lord sent me to Bethel, you stay here. He said, no, as long as the Lord lived, I believe we were rehearsing something that God had told him years ago. Sometimes God will tell you things years ago, and then he'll bring it back up, and then he'll remind you what he told you a long time ago. As long as I live, the Lord said, and as long as his soul lives, I don't want you to leave him. And he rehearsed that thing to the prophet. The Lord told me, I'm just ad-libbing it now. The Lord told me, Elijah, that as long as he lived, and I know he lived forever. And as long as you live, I'm not supposed to leave you. I made that commitment. I made that commitment in my plow field years ago. That's why I ain't got no anxiousness about me. That's why I don't care if God don't call me to do nothing else. I know where I'm supposed to be. Because I don't be running off with no sons of the prophet revelation thinking I'm going to do something of my own. These sons of the prophet revelation messing people up. Now, I made that up, you know, sons of the prophet revelation. But they're messing people up because they get the revelation and they think God want them to do something. God just want them to stay and feed and help and support sometimes the vision that he'd already been set in place. God don't need a new vision. God take the same vision and work it on. God needs your talent, your ability to make this work be what God wanted it to be. All those skills God has given you. God don't mean for you to take them. See, you know what a lot of people do in business? You know what they do? They'll stay with somebody long enough to learn their trade. Then they go try to start it up themselves. Isn't that something? They'll cut hair with you long enough, or with somebody long enough, fix hair in the shop and say, I got enough under my belt now. But no, you ain't got none in your belt. You don't know what you're supposed to know. You're trying to mimic something and make something work with no anointing. That's the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me God. It's the truth. But I believe, and I don't know, I'm just taking this little trip. If God tell me to do something else, my apostle gonna tell me. And he's gonna say, Ronald, I believe the Lord wants you to do this. Because it has something to do with this vision here. See, we try to separate and get our own vision. And if you get your own vision, I call that division. He said, I believe the Lord wants you to do something, and it's going to be an extension of this ministry. He may or may not do it, but if the Lord do something, he's going to come to his mouth. He's going to say it out of his mouth. Then I ain't going to need no confirmation. The Lord already spoke to my apostle. And the Lord told me why I'm on this subject. Because I kind of questioned something he said one time in my spirit. You ever question something from an apostle? And the Lord corrected me with a strong voice. He said, he's always right till I tell you different. I said, whoa, Lord, I got that. You ain't going to tell me that no more. He said, he's always right till I tell you different. I caught that. Why? Because I trust my apostle. He's always right till I tell you different. In other words, when he speak, God told Moses, I can't talk. The Lord said, your voice is going to be like my voice. You're going to speak for me. When they hear you, they're going to hear me. That's why I treat my apostle. When I hear him, I hear God. But if you got your own son of the prophet revelation, you're going to say, well, the Lord told me this. I don't be the Lord that's confused. I don't believe the Lord don't know how to run his church. I don't believe the Lord don't know how to order things. No, God do know how to order things. You see? He do know. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, I got to keep up now because I don't want to lose a piece of my scripture here. So you settle it for yourself. Go back again. Elijah was not one of the easiest person to follow. You may not like all my ways, he might say. I might not talk to you just right. Sometimes I may not even speak to you at all. Did that sound familiar? Yeah. Then he arose, Elijah. Then he arose and went after Elijah. And the scripture said, and ministered. You see that? And ministered unto him. Now, here's where people mess up at. They think it's one mantle, but it's two mantles. See, we deal with two mantles in life. Every person deals with two mantles. The first mantle that falls is the servant mantle. We get them confused. We think that scripture said, and Elijah, how you say that? He went after Elijah and ministered for him. Did they say minister for him? When he wasn't there? No. He ministered to him. Or he served him. He served him. How long he served? Some say between 17 to 20 years. I don't know how accurate those time frames are, but some say it was a pretty good while. That's what I know. He washed the prophet's hands, one scripture says. And he served him. He served him. Now go to 1 Kings 19 and 1. I'm going to show you another servant here that I got a problem with. I got a problem with. Let me show you what this thing says. 19 and 1. Remember Jezebel? Don't marry no Jezebel. Make sure. Let me go on. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and went to how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. You remember this? Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life at the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there, period. And I didn't see nothing else said after that. Underline, he left his servant there. I said, Lord, what the rest of this statement? He left his servant there. And it wasn't a complete statement. Because the servant shouldn't have stayed there. The Lord told Elijah, I'm going to Bethel. He said, no, you ain't going by yourself. But this servant just stayed there. I said, where the commitment? The prophet in his worst moment of his life, he's running for his life because this Jezebel. I'll call her Jezebel. This Jezebel said, what will happen to these prophet of Baal, will happen to you this time tomorrow. He's running for his life because he had a moment of human. He got into human. And he ran for his life. And every apostle, every prophet, every person, they got some human in them. They're not perfect. Because I was saying, what, this big, great man of God was always anointed to run from a Bathsheba. Not Bathsheba, Lord forgive me. From a Jezebel. And so, at the worst time of his life, when he needed him the most, he just stayed there. He didn't say a thing. This isn't worth it. That's what I said. I said, this isn't worth it. Uncommitted. Unloyal. Servant needs to stay there. Some servant needs to stay there. Because they're not with you all the way. Apostle needs people with him that go with him all the way. Not just halfway. All the way. Even Wednesday night Bible study. I just throw that in. It just was a good place to throw it in there. He needs people to go with him all the way. So, he stayed there, and I thought that was one of the worst things he could have ever did. He stayed there. And so, I don't think God ever intended for him to stay there, but that's the farthest he could go in his loyalty. Some people have limits to their loyalty. Some people have limits to their integrity. Some people have limit to their commitment. Some people have limit to their responsibility. They limit. They can't go everywhere. They can't give you their full self. They give you part of their self. I give you this much, but I can't give you all. And so that servant stayed there. It bothered me. Because I asked myself, Lord, I said, could I have stayed there? The Lord said, no, you couldn't stay there. I'll tell you what happened one time. One of the members of the church had died, and my time is almost up. One of the members of the church had died years ago, and I had been to the hospital with the family. You know, the body was at the hospital and everything, and an apostle was out of town. And then I followed the family from the hospital to the house. You know how the family get together at the house? And I would minister to them. And then the apostle called. He said, I'm on my way. Now, by this time, I've been going all day. And you ever had one of them hungry headaches? My head was hurting so bad. I was just feeling weak. And then when the apostle came, I was hurting. And I said, Pastor, I said, is all right if I go? He said, oh, yeah, go ahead. But when I left, my heart smote me. And it smote me so bad, I couldn't wait to get to the phone to apologize. And I said, I should have never left you. I should have never left you. No matter how I felt, I should have never left you. My heart smote. I knew it was wrong in my heart. So that's why Lord said, I said, Lord, could I have done that? He said, no, you couldn't have done that. You know, because God put something in you to serve. And if you need some things in you that you don't think in you, ask the Lord. The Lord, put what I need in me to be what I need to be to my apostle, my church, and be able to do it wholeheartedly where I can give my whole self. Because I want to give my whole self. More people want to give their whole self. And you know, you know, sometimes we got family stuff. You know, people, you know, God know that. But that time when you know you just, I ain't going. You're stuck in this religious rut. That's hard to get out of sometimes. You know, you ever drove in a rut in the field? See, we from the field. We from the field. And sometimes when a rut made, you ain't got to hold the wheel. Just let the wheel go, you're going to follow the rut. Yeah, the vehicle going to follow the rut. So sometimes I'm saying we get caught up so much in the rut that it becomes a second nature and we don't have to even do anything. It's just natural, normal. It's just normal. But God calling us out of normal. If we're going to be what God wants to be, we got to come out of the normal. Brazil. Where to next, Lord? But do you think he need us? Yes, he need us. That was a call made for 50 volunteers the other day. We should have had 100. I know it's 50 people that can get off in the daytime. Most of the time it is, more than 50. And is this a rebuke? No, I'm not in a position to do that. But I'm just bringing these things to our mind that to let us know that this ministry, this vision, need all of us. One person can't do it by themselves. Apostle can't do it by him. I say I would drive to make him look good. Because when some men write, they ain't gonna look at us, they're gonna look at him. He's responsible. He's the one accountable to make everything happen. He's the one doing all the praying. He's the one doing all the work. I get my meditation scripture 7 o'clock every morning from the apostle. I don't know if you get yours. I said, they ain't commitment. He committed. If we can commit ourselves half of the way he's committed, just half of his commitment. Because I know that's what he called to do. But we just do half, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Now you know I'm throwing this in early. We got an apostolic resurrection revival coming up. And the apostle doing it for himself? No, he's doing for us. He said he's got a secret he want to show us. Let me read what the secret is. This is the best time to announce this. The secret is this. He's going to reveal the secret and teach members how to transition from being members to sons and daughters. I don't know about you, but I want in on that secret. How to be sons and daughters, from members to sons and daughters. You know, sons and daughters are different from members. I got one son and two daughters. You know, I'll do more for them than I do for people that are not in my immediate family. Because they're sons and daughters. When you get connected, sons and daughters, under this apostolic anointing, God's going to show us how much more he want to do for us. I'm telling you that like the prophet or the servant Elisha said, as long as the Lord lives, now, some people might be afraid to say that. I'm not afraid. As long as the Lord lives, if you can say it with me, say it. As long as the apostle's soul lives, I will not leave him. Now that's a strong, that's stronger than you think. The Lord will breathe on that. The Lord will breathe on that. And the Lord will remind you of that in time to come. When you got to make a decision and you got to settle some things for yourself, you're going to hear these words. As long as the Lord lives, and as long as his soul lives, I'm not going to leave him. This camp meeting, he's not going to preach to people by himself. My goodness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we're here at camp meeting? What are people going to say? They're going to sit in the balcony. They're going to have to be in line outside. They're going to have to wipe the cameras in the overflow. Boy, can you imagine that day? I see that day. When Word of Life take over camp meeting. And not let the sons and daughters from the outside take over the camp meeting. This is our house. That's my apostle. They say that they're apostle, but this is my apostle. I take ownership of my apostle. If he's your apostle, let's show him he's our apostle. He's my apostle. And you know what I heard? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. That's the whole truth, number of truth, so help me God. Everything I said, I believe was true. You might laugh a little bit, but it was truth anyway. And I'm just so thankful not to be here ministering. You know, I don't have to do this to be a part of this ministry. And I told the Lord, if I never minister another minute, that won't change none of my commitment. Our ministry is not about this. God didn't call none of us to do this. Not none of us to do this. Apostle to do this. I'm dropping to serve him. And what I'm doing, I'm serving right now, you see, in this capacity. Tomorrow, I'm going to be serving another capacity. The next day, I might be serving another capacity. But today, I'm serving here. Anybody could have been serving here that's committed. Ain't about this. We get caught up on this. But I tell you what, I'm waiting for this resurrection, apostolic resurrection revival. I want to know what God is saying to me to get me more connected. All right? Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I say what I thought you told me to say, believe you told me to say with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. And I pray, dear God, that let this word leak into our hearts. Lord, that we may hear some of the things that I said. Everybody stand.